All right, so open to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In the summer of 1683, the Ottoman Empire was marching towards Vienna, basically decimating every city and village in its path on its way to conquer Europe. Vienna is one of the most prominent cities that you get to in Western Europe as you head from the east. And so as they're on their way, Vienna had a mere 15,000 people in the city, and the Ottoman Empire had 300,000 in their army. Vienna was under siege, and they were being very disheartened. Because after several months, nobody had come to help them. None of their allies had come to defend them quite yet. So they didn't know what to do. They knew they were going to be decimated if they even gave up. Their walls were starting to come down because the Ottoman Empire was exploding some of their walls. They were on the verge of collapse, so they sent out one man. His name is Jerzy Franciszek Kudziski. We'll call him George. George was a merchant and a trader, and he was very familiar with the Ottoman culture, the Ottoman language. He was fluent. He did a lot of trading with the Ottomans. So he got in his garb, and he walked straight through the camp, untouched. Nobody questioned him. Nobody thought anything of it. He got to the allies, Vienna's allies, and petitioned them that they come to help Vienna. They agreed. Poland, Germany, they agreed that they would come and rescue Vienna. So George came back through the camp again, of 300,000, got to Vienna, and encouraged Vienna, saying, "We have help on the way. Don't give up. Don't give in." Now, as they were waiting, as Vienna was waiting, finally, on September 12th of 1968, after a three-month siege, Poland, Germany came from the hills and drove away the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottomans left, never to return. Vienna was saved. They were saved because they had help. They were saved because they sent out a messenger to receive help. Now, Vienna was in the midst of a war. Vienna was under siege. And Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, tells us of the reality that we are at war, that we are under siege. And we need reinforcements. And especially, I want to take into account missionaries who are under siege. Here we have our churches. We have many churches in our area. Many missionaries do not have a local church that they can be built up by, that they can be encouraged by. A lot of times it may seem like it's 15,000 to 300,000. Many missionaries are the ones who are building up the church. And so, my contention today is that all believers everywhere can fight the good fight through prayer. That all believers everywhere can fight the good fight through prayer. Can fight together through prayer. So, Ephesians chapter 6, we're familiar with verses 10 through 12. Talks about who our enemy is. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is spiritual forces. 13 to 17 talks about the armor that the believer has. But I'm going to focus on verses 18, 19, and 20. Because I think what this 18, 19, and 20 is about how to wield the one offensive weapon we have, the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to say that prayer is the way that we wield that offensive weapon. And so let's read verses 18 to 20. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now in verse 18, there are four alls. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, be on the alert with all perseverance, and petition for all the saints. So we're going to go through these four alls in this passage. Number one, with all prayer and petition. What I believe that Paul is saying here is that there's a variety of prayers and there's a variety of petitions that the believer has, that the believer prays. It's not just a rote repetition of a single prayer. It's not just you pray the exact same way for everyone. In military, in air combat, you have airplanes. In the sea, you have boats. On land, you've got tons of things. Tanks, jeeps, foot soldiers. So there are different, we do battle differently in different arenas. And so I think Paul is saying with all prayer and petition, with all the requests that you get, with all the prayers that you pray, this is, I think he's talking about a variety of prayers. Now if I apply this to missionaries, missionaries are in different situations. They're in different stages of ministries. They are in different ministries. For instance, Scott and Julie Folks are missionaries to Spain. They leave next month. And so, what are their prayer requests? Well, probably just transition. Transition from America to Spain. Now, the interesting thing about Scott and Julie is that they grew up as missionary kids in South America. And so they're fairly familiar with foreign cultures. But even Spain, even the cities that they're going into, it's different. So perhaps a prayer request for them is that the adjustment goes well so that they can proclaim the gospel quickly. Matt and Laura Gass are in Tanzania. And they're still in the midst of language learning, cultural adaptation. So we probably ought to pray for them for what's happening at this moment. And they could probably give you a lot more requests that they have, desires that they have to minister to the people. But so this, with all prayer and petition, I'm just taking this as a variety of prayers and petitions that come about. The second all, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, I don't think that this is always be constantly praying. I don't think that this is what Paul's saying, that you're always praying. That'd be very difficult to do, to conduct any sort of business, even to preach. I mean, I don't think I'm praying right now. I think what he's saying is that every time you pray, in all prayers, or in all, pray at all times in the Spirit. So every time you pray, pray in the Spirit, I believe is what he's saying right there. Now, the big question is, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, I don't believe that this is praying in tongues. I don't know how you can pray in prayers and petitions and requests when you don't even know what you're saying. This is not speaking in tongues. Praying in the Spirit, is this your spirit? Praying in your spirit? I don't think that's the context here. We just talked about the sword of the Spirit. We're talking about things that we take up, things that we take on that's outside ourselves. Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. These are not of ourselves. I believe that this is the Holy Spirit. We're praying in the Holy Spirit. So what does praying in the Holy Spirit mean? Well, quickly turn just maybe a page over. It's on the same page for me. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, the "be filled with the Spirit" is the exact same. Now, "with the Spirit" is the exact same construction as "pray in the Spirit." It's the exact same Greek, two Greek words right there. And what this is it's a dative of agency is what it's called. What that means is that the Spirit is the agent by which, in Ephesians 5:18, we're being filled. So I have a cup of water. When I take a drink, I'm filled with the water. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not in the water. The Spirit is the cup by which I take up water and be filled. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is the agent that is filling us. Now in Ephesians 5:18, what we are being filled with, the Spirit is filling us with something. What we are being filled with in verse 18.
Yes. Repeat that whole cup thing again. Sure. Okay.
Sure. Now, when I take a drink of water, am I being filled with the cup or am I being filled with the water? I'm being filled with the water. Now, in Ephesians 5:18, the Holy Spirit is the cup.
Okay.
He's the one containing something that He is filling me with.
Okay.
I'm not being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is filling me with something. Now, in chapter 5:18, what we are being filled with is not named. But I think that Colossians 3:16, which is Ephesians' sister letter, is key to understanding what we are being filled with. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing with one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." This is the exact same context as Ephesians 5:18. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks." It's the exact same context. So what I believe Paul is saying is the Spirit fills us with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Be filled by agency of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who's filling us with His Word. Okay? Now, let's go back to where we're at. Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times, 18. At all times in the Spirit. Well, let's just go to the verse right before it. "And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Okay? Just a little bit earlier in the chapter, Paul says, be filled with the Word of God by agency of the Spirit. He is the personal one who is filling us with the Word of God. And now, we are supposed to pray in the Spirit, or by agency of the Spirit. The Spirit is helping us understand how to pray because He's filling us with the Word of God, and so we're praying the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. What is our offense towards spiritual darkness? I believe it's the Word of God. And so, as we think about how we are going to be praying for missionaries, I think the key is knowing the Word of God to pray for missionaries. Okay? And I think praying the Word of God back to God on behalf of missionaries. For instance, something that I would love prayer for is Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10, specifically verse 4. So Ephesians 2, verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us," verse 5, "even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." We need God to do a decisive work in the hearts of dead hearts to make them alive. And that's what we can be praying for each other. But missionaries who are out there going to dead lands, graveyards, people are dead there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no life. And they're preaching the gospel without God making these dead hearts alive. This work will be worthless. So I think that's one way that we could be praying, and I think that's what is indicative right here, that Paul is saying, pray at all times in the Spirit. Be praying by God's will, by God's word. Now, number three. So that was number one, with all prayer and petition, that's a variety of prayers. Number two, pray at all times in the Spirit. So every time you pray, pray in the Spirit. So here, I have a sentence for this, and I hope this makes this clear. Every time you pray, pray His Word, because His Word is the sword of the Spirit, and His Word is what the Spirit fills you with. Okay? Every time you pray, pray His Word, because His Word is the sword of the Spirit, and His Word is what the Spirit fills you with. So, do you know His Word? Are you worried about knowing His Word? We had just talked a couple weeks ago, a pastor preached about meditating on His Word. I think as we meditate on it, as we memorize it, we are able to pray it back and pray it as an offensive weapon. Number three, be on the alert with all perseverance. It's so easy to pray. Said no one ever.
Yeah.
I'm always just praying. I always feel like praying. Prayer is so difficult. It's just so difficult. There's a reason why it's so difficult. Is because it's so powerful and it's effective, and that's the means by which God works not only in our hearts but in the hearts of others. Prayer. Because if we're praying right, we're praying the Word of God, and we're knowing the Word of God, and we're using the Word of God, if we're praying right. So, prayer is difficult, and that's exactly why Paul says, be on the alert with all perseverance. Be on the alert. Doesn't that remind you of Gethsemane? Jesus comes back to the disciples several times, and they're sleeping while He's in anguish praying. Guess who knew which battle was being fought? Sometimes we don't pray because we don't feel like there's a battle. And a lot of times in America, we don't feel that battle. Pastor Jeff just preached about how a battle is coming and the battle is promised. You know, maybe right now it's about somebody laughing at you. That's not so bad. But someday it might be because you're going to lose your job. You're going to be legislated. You're going to be put in jail. Perhaps. And in a lot of countries that missionaries are, that's exactly the danger that they're in. Not only that, to the point of losing their life. Not just being put in jail. And so, we need to persevere in prayer. We need to be alert that there's a war, and we need to persevere. We need to keep going and praying and praying and praying. And praying. Because sometimes we don't see the fruit that is coming out of prayer. But if we're praying correctly, do you know how much that does to your own heart? The prayer. Maybe that's what God's trying to do. And so be on the alert and pray. So, with all prayer and petition, a variety of prayers, praying at all times in the Spirit, praying the Word of God every time you pray. Be on the alert. Know that there's a war. With all perseverance, pray because it's doing something. And number four, petition for all the saints. We ought to pray for each one of us. Everyone here. Every regenerated heart. Everyone out there. Everyone in the world. Every regenerated heart. Every believer we ought to be praying for. And, you know what? I think that's the benefit of what our grace groups are doing right now. Is that we get to know the variety of prayers that we need. And we start to get an idea of, you know, how we need to be praying. And we were challenged a couple of weeks ago to really meditate on the Word of God and memorize the Word of God, and so that should feed into how we pray for each other. So we're to pray for every saint. But the following verses 19 and 20 that we're going to cover now has to do specifically with missionaries, because that is what Paul was. Paul would go into unreached places. he would go, he was sent out from his home church out into graveyards to proclaim the gospel. And so the following is going to be about basically how to pray for missionaries. Okay, so this is going to be four applications of how to pray for missionaries. Now, before I get to the four applications of how to pray for missionaries, I'm going to say, I'm going to talk about how we usually pray for missionaries. Usually we pray for missionaries and, hope that they, are safe. Hope they're safe, pray that they stay safe, pray that they learn the language, and said that that's something that we need to be praying for. So those things aren't bad. But what did Paul not ask for? Well, Paul did not ask to be released from the chains that he talked about that he's in. He did not say, release me from these chains. Let's read it first, just to get it in our minds. Verses 19 and 20. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So what's absent here? A praying for health, a praying for finances, a praying to be released from his chains, prayer requests for specific people. These things are absent. Now, I don't think that those are bad things. Those are good things to be praying for. I think that we need to be praying, but we need to be praying God's will. Now, if a missionary is in chains and we pray that he would be released, that might not be God's will. So then we'll give up in prayer because we're not praying God's will. So how can we always pray for missionaries? I think there are four things in verses 19 and 20 that we can pray for. We can always pray for opportunity. We can always pray for empowerment. We can always pray for boldness, and we can always pray for clarity. Opportunity, empowerment, boldness, and clarity. And I think that the first two are humanly speaking, under the mission, out of the control of the missionaries. So opportunity and empowerment, I think, are that sovereignty of God thing, and the boldness and clarity are the. What do we do with these opportunities that God has sovereignly given to us? Okay, opportunity. Verse 19 says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me. I'm going to appeal to Colossians again, the sister letter, Colossians 4, to clarify this a little bit more. Let's see, Colossians 4, verse 3, praying at the same time for us as well. So this is the same context. This is a prayer request that Paul has. That God will open up to us a door for the word. So I think that what Paul is requesting, what I know that Paul is requesting right here, is that he is given opportunity to proclaim the gospel. And these opportunities come about from God opening doors to proclaiming the gospel. Okay? So we may always pray that missionaries have opportunity to share the gospel. Number two, empowerment. That's verse 19. May be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Now, this is a passive word here. In the opening of my mouth. It should be as my mouth is opened. It's not as I open my mouth. It's as in the opening of my mouth. And who's doing the opening? God is doing the opening. So we pray that God empowers when he opens up a door, that God also empowers the believer, the missionary, to open up his mouth to proclaim the gospel. And then also, boldness. So we have opportunity, empowerment, boldness. So in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. How many here, you know, you don't have to raise your hand, just think about it, because I already know the answer. How many people here are just so comfortable and always bold and every opportunity they have, it's just always talking about Jesus? And now, there are some who are like that, and praise the Lord for them. Love them. But the door is open. You know that God is there to empower you to speak. And, well, you know, you've heard of Jesus, right? Well, you know, Jesus died for your sins. Oh, you don't like sin? Okay. He'll make you healthy? No, that's not right. I mean, how often is it that you are just, you just are so bold at the opportunities and just waiting for them? Or how many of you are just scared out of your mind every time you know there's an opportunity and every time you know that God is going to make you speak? I mean, my heart is always racing and always pounding. The amazing thing is that when you're done proclaiming the gospel to somebody, it's the most wonderful thing. I mean, isn't that how it always is? It's the most wonderful thing. But missionaries need boldness. When they have the opportunity and empowerment, they need boldness. Then they also need clarity. I mean, we all get tongue-tied when, you know, when we're speaking of things that are very important. I think, especially anytime I preach or anytime I hand in a paper or something, it's out there, it's done, and then I think about it and I'm like, oh, I should have added that. Should have said that. How many walk away from conversations saying, oh, I should have said that. Okay? Clarity. Verse 20. Let's go to verse 20. And I'm going to have some help from Colossians again. For which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in the proclaiming, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly, it, that's the gospel, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And Colossians 4:4 says that I may make it clear, that I may make it, the gospel, clear in the way I ought to speak. That construction is a little confusing in both of these. It basically what he's saying is that pray that I am proclaiming the gospel clearly, because that's the way I need to speak it. That's the way I need to proclaim it. I need to proclaim it clearly. That's what he means by in the way I ought to speak. So let's pray for missionaries according to the word of God, because it's right here. Paul asked for opportunity, empowerment, boldness, and clarity. I think those are universal. Those are universal. Now, as we continue to pray for other requests that missionaries have, we ought to keep these, especially these four things, in mind. That this is what the missionary definitely needs. I'm going to say this in a summary statement. Pray for missionaries that God will give them opportunity and empowerment to proclaim the gospel. And when those things happen, the opportunity and empowerment, that pray then that they would have boldness and be clear with the gospel. Because proclaiming the gospel boldly and clearly is the way they ought to speak. That's kind of a long sentence. All believers everywhere can fight the good fight together through prayer. Vienna knew they were under siege. Not everybody else, not all their allies, knew they were under siege. Vienna had to get a messenger out. Now, we know that we are at war. Sometimes we forget it. This is the message out to you guys, that we need to be praying for each other, especially for those under siege overseas. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, I thank you that you give in your word clear examples of how we ought to pray, clear instruction as how we ought to pray, and that you give us your will in your word as to the content of what we need to be praying. Pray that you move our hearts to pray for each other, but also pray for our missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen.